Hey neighbors, Adam here. If you didn't know, My Neighbors Are Dead has a Patreon where you can now find weekly bonus content only available to our patrons. Want to hear interviews with our guests and their connection to horror? How about commentaries on the horror films we're currently watching? Patreon is a place for all that and more. So if you want to support the show while getting yourself exclusive bonus content, head on over to www.patreon.com/myneighborsaredead. That's www.patreon.com/myneighborsaredead. Thanks for listening, and now on to the show. Welcome back to another episode of My Neighbors Are Dead. I'm your host, Adam Peacock, and we're all familiar with the big names in horror, Freddy, Jason, the sirens of the East Coast harbors, but who we're not familiar with are the ones just outside the terror, the ones who didn't get to tell their tales. And folks, there's a lot of ways you can go in life, you know? They always tell you that in high school. There's so many places you can go, and everybody gets read, "Oh, the places you'll go" by Dr. Seuss. You can't get away from it. And I think when you're in high school, man, you got the world by the short hairs. You're going to go out there and you're going to make something of yourself. But they never prepare you for what horrors might be lying at the very feet of the high school you're in itself. And if that happens, you can go one of two ways with it. And this week's guests, well, they went the positive way, each for their own reasons. I went to Oak Rest Senior Living Center to talk to this week's guests. Enjoy the show. Welcome back, neighbors. Adam here, and in my travels, I've gotten to go to a lot of fun places that I like, Dunkin' Donuts, Applebee's, but this week, I'm coming to you from a place that I don't normally visit, a place that I hope to, well, if I'm being honest, never come back to, but I am here at the Oak Rest Senior Center, and I am joined this week by proud alumni of Bates High School, Amanda and Rick Schloss. How are you, Amanda and Rick?
We're doing as well as can be expected.
That's well said.
And I wanted to offer you this pudding. I set it aside yesterday lunch. And I kept it in my room, but I hid it under my mattress. They don't like you to keep pudding around because it draws rats. But I kept this for you. And I hope you like vanilla chocolate swirl.
I absolutely do. And if I'm being completely honest, Amanda, and I love it when like snack packs stay out for a little while, because I think there's something tastier about them when they've been exposed to just room temperature for at least a day or two.
Oh, that is, you are an enlightened young man.
It develops a bit of a hard skin, but we should say now we're a little sensitive to talking about skin because obviously of Amanda's condition.
My massive burns.
Yes.
Well, I mean, let's talk about the elephant in the room. Amanda, you are and just so everybody knows, Amanda, you are a resident here at the Oak Rest Senior Center.
Yes.
And Rick, you are not.
That's right. I'm just a frequent visitor.
He's such a dear.
Oh, you're the dear, let's be honest.
My brother, he brings me all kinds of things from the outside world, but I have to stay here because I'm horribly disfigured.
Well, yes, it's very obvious that you are incredibly burned. I don't think it's any secret. You are the victim of the Bates High 1979 massacre.
Yes, we were both there.
Yes. It was a very chilling moment for both of us. I was lucky that I was able to get out a little earlier than Amanda.
Yes.
You seem fairly fine, Rick.
I'm fine. I have like a little thing on my neck and it's sort of honestly, it's a drag when I'm wearing any necklaces and I'm kind of a necklace guy, but she doesn't have hair except for just on the side. So I feel bad that I...
Ironically though, I always loved a side ponytail.
So she kept the best. So she got the best part.
I did. I like to look on the bright side.
I think that's great.
You always have.
Yeah. You know, I just wanted to say, Rick and I are twins. We used to look very much alike.
Yeah.
Not so much now, but he was the first one out of our mother's uterus.
Yes.
He came down the birth canal and out into the world. And then I came second. And that's the exact same thing that happened when that little bitch Carrie White burned down the gymnasium.
It's true. And it's a guilt that I lived with my whole life, honestly. Sure, I've always been quick to find the exit. And
thank goodness you did. Ricky, thank goodness.
Oh, you are a gem. You are a gem of a person. I'm going to tuck your hair in just a little bit.
Oh.
Get your ponytail cinched a little tighter. There you are.
Oh, not too tight. Sometimes it pulls the hairs out.
Amanda, I must admit, and Rick, you as well, too, but Amanda, mostly, I admire your just positive outlook, and just, I feel like so many people could take this thing and make it just kind of ruin them, and you don't seem to have done that.
No. It certainly was a before and after moment for Ricky and I. I mean, before prom, we were two healthy, lucky-go-lucky, what's that term? Happy-go-lucky teenagers with whole bodies and great bodies, actually, I would say.
She was phenomenal looking. She was, I would say, next to Chris Argenson. If it wasn't for this end-around with Carrie, which was really just a joke nomination, she would have been the prom queen.
You think so?
Amanda was next to Chris, who was, you know...
Yeah.
The gold standard, obviously.
Yes,
it was then it was
course.
Amanda. And you had a bigger chest, which to me should have been weighted higher.
Well, that's true. I did have bigger breasts than her, and I knew that because every day when we would have our gym class, we would all be showering, and it was very easy to compare because we were all running around naked like a bunch of nymphs frolicking in a stream.
And,
So as much as it could matter to a 66-year-old survivor of a terrible fire and massacre through telekinesis, I could have been prom queen. I really could have. Adam.
In a lot of ways, that's the biggest tragedy of that night. I mean, the deaths are definitely maybe it's equal. There were lots of deaths and... You know, both of us have survivor's guilt to some degree because, you know, almost nobody survived that night.
Right.
Don't know.
Yeah, sure. What, up until, I like to talk to people about kind of like life before and after these events. And I don't think there's any better time to do that than now. And I think you've kind of explained to me a little bit that before this, you guys were just two normal kids going through all the troubles and perils that any normal kid goes through at that age.
That's true.
And it's interesting because Amanda is downplaying. She was pretty much the coolest. I was a little bit more of an outcast and actually had a lot of familiarity with pig's blood because I worked at the local pig slaughtering house. Mm-hmm. It's a huge industry.
Oh, cool.
Great with a knife. That's what they said about it. Great with a knife.
But for me, going to prom was such a big deal. And I sort of rode my sister's coattails to some degree. In fact, I wore one of your coats that night.
That's right. You did wear. But it was a tuxedo. It was, well, you know, there was a lot of Annie Hall kind of women dressing as men. So it was great because I had bought a tuxedo for myself. Yeah. It was a little too big, and you wore it.
I wore it.
And I wore a dress.
We've been trading jeans for years, obviously, as twins.
Dungarees.
But this was the first time I wore a whole suit. And it was great. Really absorptive of pig's blood, as it turned out.
Mm-hmm.
I was covered head to toe. I actually looked worse than Carrie in terms of backsplash. I got a lot of them.
We were right in front because I was... thinking it might be me who was going to be the queen. So I had pushed and shoved my way to the front.
She was merciless.
I'm ambitious.
I always have been.
And I was sure it would be me. And then we got covered in blood, which was lucky for you because the blood matted, it made your suit more fire retardant.
It's an interesting thing. And I think that's really why Carrie got out of there unscathed. Everyone says she's also touched by, you know, the devil incarnate herself.
Sure,
that protected her. But I think she just had some fire retardant, you know, greasy pig's blood all over her face. And it did get me out of there. Big regret is that I screamed and ran out immediately without getting my sister. big regret, because now you only have your one ponytail.
You've got to let it go, Ricky.
No.
You've got to let it go. Excuse me.
That's okay.
Applesauce. Ricky, listen to me and hear me, and maybe here with Adam as our witness.
You can really
let it go, for heaven's sakes. I'm glad you are so virile and strong and tall, and you've got all your hair. I'm glad of it, darling.
You do have nice puddings here. If I'm trying to glass half full.
I like it here at Oakrest.
You have your puddings.
I like it just fine here at Oakrest. And you know what? They're going to have a beauty pageant. I didn't want to tell you, but they're going to have a beauty pageant here at Oakrest, and I'm one of the lead. I'm in lead contention for the spot as the winner of the beauty pageant.
Look at that. Isn't that a happy takeaway?
You know, it's so nice to see you guys still maintaining that relationship, because I imagine, Ray, if I were in your shoes, I might feel the guilt as well, too. But also, you never know what you're going to do in those situations. You know, like, how many of us have been in that exact thing that you guys went through? So I don't think it's fair to, you know, beat yourself up for just completely bailing on your twin sister.
I ran immediately. It was in cartoons. You know how sometimes when people run and like a feather is floating in the air after,
I've
like
always wanted to
literally
do that.
A puff of smoke.
Yeah.
I could not have had a quicker cowardly instinct of fleeing. Mm-hmm. And this I'm not proud of. There was a young boy standing in the doorway because he was sneaking handfuls of the gorp, you know, good old raisins and peanuts that they had near the entrance.
Yeah.
And I did throw him to the ground. I did, in order to get out. I did. So it was abandoning my sister and throwing the boy in the ground.
Yes, he did die. Because when you threw him, you know, you threw him against a table and the table cracked him in the eye and he wore glasses. His name was Alfred Jameson, I remember. Very unpopular student.
Sounds like just a nerd.
Well, you know, he was. He was. And who knows, maybe he would have grown out of it, but he didn't, because that glasses, it just went right through his eye.
Yeah, I killed him. It had nothing. He could have just been in a random field. It was only my actions that killed him. The fire just disposed of his body, essentially.
That's true.
And I live with that. You know, I live with that.
What's the statute of limitations on a murder, I wonder?
It's actually the first time I've ever talked about it on... with a member of the press.
We could do that. We could just say you did this allegedly. You know, allegedly did this.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. We don't know. You can't tell if that's what did it. You know, it could have been, he could have panicked and flopped on his way down and could have caused his own death. So that's not on you either.
Well, I appreciate that. I mean, he did turn towards me and say, Rick Schloss, you bastard, you did this. Mm. But there's so many people screaming at that point.
Yes.
Carrie, by the way, shrieking, like a little dramatically, I'd say.
Sure.
Yes. Well, and then the hose came and was washing everyone around. And that was very confusing. So maybe the sound of the hose was also.
And I should mention the hose, you know, which she ambulated on her own using her mind.
Yeah.
It got in my ear. And that was annoying for several weeks. I had like swimmer's ear.
Oh, the poor thing. He was moaning and moaning next to me. And I was, of course, when Ricky turned and ran, I know you didn't mean to do it, but you sort of threw me away. You threw me off to the side so you could run. And I
meant it. I mean, at the time I meant it. I regret it. But I did think, I'll get a little extra inertia if I push off of you.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes.
Amanda, I must admit, I really do. I admire your positivity and your just general outlook on things. I can hear it in your voice, but I'm curious, and I'm certainly not casting any blame in this situation, but you had mentioned the ruthlessness that you possessed to get to the front when you thought you might win the crown.
Yes.
Where did that go when the whole place went up in flames and everybody was, you know, kind of dying around you? Where was that ruthlessness to start knocking, you know, I hate to say it, but knocking nerds to the ground to get out of the building?
Well, I caught fire fairly quickly. Adam. And so when I was wearing a dress with spangles. Now, spangles are bigger than sequins, all right? Mm-hmm. Sequins are small, spangles are bigger, and people don't understand that, but that's the truth of it.
It's true.
It's the sewing truth of it. Mm-hmm. Fabric truth. Anyway, my spangles began to catch on fire like popcorn, starting at my ankles. It was an ankle length spangled gown.
Sure. And
shooting up my body.
And it sounds nice.
Well, I bet it looked terrific. Because
I wasn't there to see it.
It rose, you know, the dress sort of disintegrated, and then you could see my long legs. But I started bouncing into people, just hoping that someone would help me. And so I think that I transferred the fire to many other students who were there. So that was a bit ambitious. I mean, that was a bit ruthless of me, really. Like, I don't know that I thought I could get rid of the fire, but I mm-hmm. definitely burned several people.
Well, I think that's something that you two share in common as well. Like the ruthlessness of the Schlosses, you know, like whatever your passion is, you're going to direct that ruthlessness towards it. Getting away from fire or setting people on fire.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We tried for a while to do telekinesis ourselves, mm-hmm. if I can admit this. Mm. Rick, for his very bad clogged ear and the slight burn on his neck, he felt very angry. He wanted revenge.
Sure.
I, for the burns covering my face and neck and arm and one of my breasts, I felt very upset. And so we tried to do telekinesis like Carrie did. Not to very good effect, I'm afraid.
I thought maybe it would have like a secondhand, not to stay in the fire metaphor, but a secondhand smoke kind of thing where if she did telekinesis mm-hmm. and we had this big moment where it changed everyone's lives in the town, obviously, maybe it would rub off on us and we mm-hmm. could do it. And I swear to you, I made a grape move on a counter.
Oh, yes.
A little bit. Mm-hmm. People have said there was a big gust of wind that came in, but I swear to you, I told the grape to move with my mind.
Yeah.
But that's as far as it got, was small fruits.
The grape was also squishier after the incident.
So it sounds, it sounds like, Rick, you've been touched first to whatever degree with this gift as well, too. So, I mean, you know, that could be considered a benefit from some people.
Well, I've been trying to see it as a good takeaway is that, you know, Carrie inspired me with my, you know, sort of street telekinesis, but I have a long way to go. And you know, what's great is being here at the convalescent home. I do a whole telekinesis bit with some of the older people's residents and they fall for it. Because they're not fully there. So it's
great.
Pretty easy
it's
to get
the trick we play.
And sometimes I'll just move a stapler with my hand and they'll think I did it with my mind and my hand's right there, but they can't tell.
Well, I think the official stance of My Neighbors Are Dead is don't grift old people. But if we're just talking the three of us, I mean, you know, just do it.
That's a good official stance, but yeah.
Officially, yes. The show does not condone it, but you know, I mean, you know.
When you're in the real world and you want a laugh.
Yeah.
They're suckers. They're old suckers. I mean, I'm only 66.
Yeah.
So I'm young. I'm just here because of the. I need help. I need salve supplied, and I need, you know, I need.
And she sounds older, obviously, because of her vocal cords. The
sure.
whole inhalation. Yeah. Yes.
Well, I did want to talk about that a minute because you had. I'm going through my notes here, and it said, you know, while your brother was out grifting people, kind of having the time of his life post fire, you were immediately sent off to assisted living as a child, and you've sort of been there ever since. So, how do you keep that positive mind frame? How do you keep that, you know, just that joy, that sense of let's keep moving forward?
Kegels and cornflakes. That's my joke. Kegels
and cornflakes.
Kegels is the body. You know, keep your body, keep it toned, keep it taut. Mm-hmm. Even if you have
even if
luck is against you.
Yeah.
Just keep it real. Keep it tight.
Mm-hmm.
And
keep
then
cornflakes.
Cornflakes, perhaps out in the real world where you are, Adam, cornflakes are passé, they're the cereal of your youth. But in here, cornflakes are like money because they're sweet, they crackle. We're not really allowed to have crackly foods. So
it's like cigarettes in prison a little
Yes,
bit.
It is exactly, sure. exactly what yeah. it's like. So cornflakes are power. Cornflakes mm-hmm. are the ability. I mean, I can take a box. You give me a family-sized box of cornflakes.
Oh, God.
I will have men kneeling, kissing my feet. And frankly, that's what I'm into, Adam.
Great. And Rick, I guess same question. You don't carry the same physical scars, but I can only imagine the mental scars. I mean, originating with working at a slaughterhouse when you were a boy. I can't imagine how that must have just messed with your head. What keeps you going forward? What keeps you sane?
I think the biggest thing for me, and I mean, just to remind you, I do have the physical thing of the one little spot on my neck that's not great when you're wearing like headphones and stuff.
And necklaces.
Yeah. Or like necklaces. A thick Shaw collar kind of shirt. But I think the thing for me is, God bless her, my sister Amanda has always been my biggest fan. She's actually the one who set me up with my date for that prom.
Is that right?
God rest her soul, was this terrific girl who I would never have had the temerity to ask. Mm. But Amanda was right there saying, Rick, you know, she likes you. She's, you know, if you can figure out a way to convince her to go, you'll have a great time.
That's right. I did.
And so I think it's my sister's belief in me. And you know, the fact that I have been able to move a couple things, most likely with my mind. It's just taking a bad situation and finding something good out of it. You know,
man,
like the great art that's come out of the Triangle Shirt Fire, as we all know.
Sure.
You know, just any
good reference.
Oklahoma City bombing. Some of the great dream catchers that those guys were selling on eBay.
Yes.
For every cloud, there's a silver lining, I guess, huh?
Yep, that's it.
Well, Amanda and Rick, you guys, I'm getting the nod, Amanda, from your nurse that I need to get out of here because they have to disinfect this room before they can change your bandages. So unfortunately, we have to wrap this up. But it's been so nice talking to you. You know, I can only strive to have the type of relationship with anybody in my life that the two of you have, just positivity. And you're both an inspiration.
Oh, Adam, that's so lovely of you to say, and so nice of you to travel all the way here to Oakrest to see us.
Should you give him a second pudding? Let's give him a second pudding.
Oh, do you think so? All right. Ricky had a bite of this one, but besides that, it's fine.
I'm still going to eat it.
Enjoy, it's banana.
Oh, excellent. Thank you so much. Thanks for listening to My Neighbors Are Dead. I'm your host, Adam Peacock. The show was produced by myself and Nate Dufort with Ryan Countshouse, with editing done by Nate Dufort. Original music was composed by Jesse Case, with additional music by Dane Halverson, and our artwork was done by Mark Nishan. I would like to thank Emmy and Sam Laybourne for coming by and playing the Schloss Twins. If you want to know more about Emmy and Sam, you can check out Sam's work. He's been a writer on Arrested Development, Blackish. You can find him all over the place. And Emmy is a novelist. You can check out her book, Sweet. Find that on Amazon. And if you want to know more about what's going on with Emmy on social media, you can check her out at Emmy Laybourne. If you like the show and you want to support us, go to www.patreon.com/myneighborsaredead, where you can find new weekly bonus content only available to our Patreon patrons. If you have yet to rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts, please take a second to do so now. It helps us grow and it helps new neighbors find the show. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram at My Neighbors Are Dead and on Twitter at My Dead Neighbors. Stop by, give us a follow, and share your favorite episodes. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Hey, Oscar, Rachel, do you like Disney movies?
Yeah!
Have you seen all of them?
Yeah, we saw all the Disney animated movies.
And we saw all the Pixar animated movies, too.
How about the DCOMs?
What?
The Disney Channel original movies. You should listen to our podcast, Inside the Disney Vault, because we are watching all of them in chronological order.
Yeah, and we do fun segments, like we cast each other.
That's right, and my favorite segment, Zaddy Watch, where we rank every single DCOM daddy.
Ooh, you can listen to all this fun stuff on our podcast, Inside the Disney Vault on Campfire Media, wherever you listen to podcasts.
All right, guys, let's get back in the vault. It's cold out here.
Campfire.